Good morning. I hope you are doing well this morning. Before we get started, I do want to recognize we have another newly married couple here today. Alex and Haley Kaiser got married 2 weeks ago, and they're back from their honeymoon, so let's congratulate them. Alex does not look rested. He looks tired. 1 week of, no, 2 weeks of marriage, already tired. No, a week of marriage. We're starting a new series today called Kingdom People. And during this series, I'm going to dive into the world of politics. The shark-infested waters of politics. Some of you immediately think, oh no. Fine with Randy. Some of you have been in churches in the past where they dove into the world of politics and they would preach from this stage for one side or the other, for one person or the other. I want to tell you, at no point during this three-week series leading up to the election will I endorse a candidate, endorse a party, endorse a side. In fact, I'm really good at this. I'll probably make both sides mad. You'll probably be unhappy with the position I take because I'm not taking either side. And in a politically divided climate like we are in today, people like taking sides. But the side I am going to try to take today and try to teach you today is God's side. I believe it is the biblical road that we are called to walk on. And the biblical road that this nation needs us to walk on. Three things that when I think about political season, and I think you'll agree with me, they all start with D. Political season is divisive. People are on one side or the other. Either you're on the liberal side or the conservative side. And what really saddens me is that each side views the other side as their enemy. Each side views the other side as evil. I have both liberal friends on my Facebook and conservative friends on my Facebook. I have both liberal pastors on my Facebook and conservative pastors on my Facebook. And I literally can see one conservative pastor say, the people on the other side's the enemy, and then the liberal pastor say, the people on the other side is their enemy. And it saddens me that we're that divided that we are calling someone who disagrees with us politically our enemy. And Christians are just as bad or even worse in some cases than those of the world. I expect that in some degree from the people in the world, but in fact, I see some people in the world who are less like that than Christians are. And we should be ashamed of ourselves for that. So political season is divisive. Number two, political season is dramatic. It's like a drama playing out before our very eyes. And now, and I don't know if this has always been this way, but now we have a bunch of one-liners, terms, and nicknames that are developed that just adds to that drama. And when we adopt those one-liners, those terms, and those nicknames, and we just add to the drama. Third thing I see, the political season is devastating. After this election, I am very worried that we're not going to have much of a nation left, honestly. Political season leaves devastation in its path. Relationships, family relationships are destroyed or severely hurt. Churches are split over things like this. Families are split up over things like this. Friends disagree and the relationship is destroyed or severely hurt over politics. And just to be honest with you, and you're probably here with me, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it from both sides. I think both sides are in the wrong here, and I'm tired of seeing our nation being torn apart, and I'm tired of seeing the church playing a role in tearing it apart. And so I want to talk about during this series how Christians should carry themselves during times like these. And I also look at the example of Jesus. C.S. Lewis said this, every Christian is to become a little Christ. The whole purpose of becoming a Christian is simply nothing else. I got in a Facebook argument a couple weeks ago with somebody, and I made a post of basically calling out Christians who are making fun of the opposing political candidate. And one of the pastors who were making fun of the other political candidate commented on my post and said, well, you don't need to look at what Martin Luther said. I said, well, who are we following, Martin Luther, or are we following Jesus? We're following Jesus. So let's look at Jesus' example. Let's look at Jesus' life and Jesus' earthly ministry, and let's learn from the Word of God. First point for you today, I got 3 points from Jesus' life and then 3 points about how we should do the same thing. So the first point for you today is Jesus was for the concept of government. Jesus was for the concept of government. He was not against government. Matthew 22, 19 through 21, the Pharisees are asking Jesus whether they should pay taxes. And we all wish Jesus said no. But anyway, he said, here, show me the coin used for the tax. When they handed him a Roman coin, he asked whose picture and title are stamped on it. Caesar's, they replied. Well then, he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. If he was not for the concept of government, if he was not for government, he could have easily told those Pharisees and his followers not to pay taxes. It's kind of hard for a government to run without money. And so he could have said, don't pay taxes, don't support the government, I'm against government, but no. And Paul confirmed that in Romans chapter 13, verse 1. He says, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. And then, just so you know, the early church believed in this, believed in the concept of government, believed in submitting to the governing authorities. Peter confirmed it as well in 1 Peter 2, 13 through 14. For the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as head of state, the president as the head of state, the governor as the head of state, or the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong, and to honor those who do right. And there we get into the purpose of government. This is some interesting stuff that you need to know. Biblically, government is there to do two main things, and as a result of doing these two main things, a third thing happens. The government is there to promote good. Romans 13:3. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? No, do what is right, and they will honor you. So the government is there to promote good, to promote people living the life that they should be living. And so on the flip side of that, the government is also there to punish evil. Romans 13:4 and 5. The authorities are God's servants sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. So they are meant to punish evil. When people do wrong, they are meant to punish that. They are meant to make people realize that that was wrong, that they should not be living that way. And so as a result of promoting good and punishing evil, they provide order. The government provides order. But here's what happens, and what is I see happening in our nation. When they promote evil and punish good, there will be chaos. As long as the government is promoting good and punishing evil, there's going to be order. But when they are promoting evil and punishing good, there will be chaos. And I think we can all agree that we see chaos reigning in our nation. Partly because there are state governments and the national government who is promoting, they are promoting evil, and they are punishing good. So how do we determine what's good and evil? The Word of God. And so when the government begins to promote things that the Bible very clearly states is evil. And they begin to punish things that is considered in the Bible to be good, there will be chaos. So there's a truth that we need to learn. The closer the government is aligned with biblical principles, the more order there will be. The further they get away from biblical principles, the more chaos there will be. So, that leads into application. Christians should be for the concept of government. That's your second point. Really, it goes along with the first one. Christians should be for the concept of government. I know I feel the temptation to totally pull myself out of the political realm at all. I feel the temptation not to have anything to do with government and just to focus in on my individual life and not worry about who to vote for, not worry about even going to the polls. I feel that temptation, and I know Christians who feel that temptation as well. But we should not want to completely remove ourselves from the political realm. We should want our government to promote as much good as possible and punish as much evil as possible. And here we live in a nation where we do have a say in who runs our government. Christians should want to vote. Christians should want to have some say in who runs our government, and we should vote for people and policies that are going to align our government more with the Word of God, because then we will have order. So we can't remove ourselves completely. We need to be involved. We are involved by voting, but we're also involved by speaking truth to power, by speaking to those in power when they do go a little far off. When they begin to promote evil and punish good, we need to speak truth to them. We need to make our voice heard because we live in a nation where we can. And so we should be for the concept of government, and we should be for voting. And I think many Christians agree with this, and I probably haven't made anybody mad yet, but we're about to get there. Because see, the disagreements begin with which party or person actually promotes good. And which party or person actually punishes evil. I see both sides calling out the other side as bad, as evil, as promoting evil. And so that's where the disagreement is. Which side is really promoting good and which side is really promoting evil. And so I looked up our political numbers in Randolph County. And I know we have many conservatives in Randolph County. 91,908 registered voters, 47,580 are registered Republicans. That's not counting the Constitution Party, which is conservative. That's not counting couple parties that lean conservative. So we are very conservative in Randolph County. And so I understand that I'm probably speaking to people who vote conservative. And you might think that that is going to make me maybe go to that side a little bit more because, as most preachers do, they want to please their people. Good thing is I'm not used to pleasing you. And I was thinking this past week, I like it when people like me, but I love doing what God says more. And so I might call out some things on the conservative side, and understand that it's not that I'm picking on that side, because both sides, as we're going to find out, have some evil in it. Yeah. Both sides fall short of God's standard, and I'm going to call out a little bit more on the conservative side, just because I know I'm speaking to the conservative side. So, here's the second thing we can learn from Jesus' earthly ministry, and this gets into the taking sides things. Jesus addressed political issues of his time without being politically partisan. Jesus addressed political issues. I hear people talk about how the gospel is political, and there's disagreements on that, on whether the gospel is political or not. But I think I will agree that Jesus addressed political issues. And so, but he was not politically partisan. So let's give some definitions here. Political means of or relating to government, a government, or the conduct of government. And so Jesus did address the government and the conduct of government because the conduct of the government affected the people. And so Jesus, when he is speaking to some of these issues, when he is teaching some of these issues, they are political issues because they went against what the government was for or what the government taught. And so he did address political issues. But he was not partisan. So what's partisan mean? We hear this word thrown around a lot, but I never really had a definition. But partisan means a strong supporter of a party, cause, or person. So if you're partisan, it means that you are fully on one side or fully on the other side. You're a strong supporter of the Republican or the Democrat Party. You're a strong conservative or you're a strong liberal. And when you look at that, we see that Jesus didn't throw his support behind one political group or another during his earthly ministry. So what were the political parties of Jesus' time? Number one was the Roman Empire. Of course, they were the ruling authorities during this time. And it's interesting, I read a few articles this past week talking about the political parties and Jesus and politics, and a lot of interesting stuff in there. But one of the articles I read pointed out that Matthew was a tax collector, therefore he worked for the Roman Empire. And so when you think about Matthew, he was almost like a big government type person. He worked for the government, so he probably leaned to be a little more big government. But then you had the Jewish authorities, which were a ruling group underneath the Roman Empire who ruled the Jews. And Jesus often came up against the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Jewish authorities, the Jewish ruling authorities. But then you have a third group, and we have more than these three, but I'm listing these three, that were the zealots. They were Jewish patriots who advocated that any and all methods were justified to escape Roman rule, whether it included violence, whether it included assassinations, whatever. They were for getting out from underneath the Roman Empire's rule. And Simon, the disciple, was a zealot. So you could argue that he was small government. You had Matthew that was big government. You had Simon that was small government. Almost like Matthew was a Democrat and Simon was a Republican. And they both followed Jesus. That's a lesson right there for us, church. We don't have to agree politically, but we can all follow Jesus still. And there's more political parties, but those are the three ones I want to point out. You had the Roman government, the Jewish authorities, and the zealots. And so let's look at some examples from Jesus' life. Number one, Jesus did address political issues. He talked a lot about taking care of the poor. Well, why does he talk about taking care of the poor? Because the government's not taking care of the poor. The government's not doing their job. The conduct of government, the conduct of the Jewish authorities, they're not doing their jobs. He did call for social justice, taking care of the widows and the oppressed who the masses or the government forgot. And of course, he addressed many moral issues, including greed, adultery, marriage, forgiveness, violence, etc., which went against the grain of what the governments believed and promoted. I was thinking about the Roman Empire. They were not afraid to be very wild when it come to their sex life. And Jesus preaching against that. We're about to see an example in Jesus addressing the Jewish authorities, how he pushes back against them because they're not taking care of the people that God has called them to take care of. And so Jesus, he addressed political issues and he went against the grain. So if Jesus spoke against violence, because what did Jesus say? Turn the other cheek. Yeah. That goes against what the zealots are saying, who, hey, we need to do whatever we can do to get out from underneath the rule of the Roman Empire. He spoke to political issues. He spoke to issues that the government was for or against. And he spoke truth to all of those in power. Here's an example, Matthew 23:23. He says, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith." He says, you're hypocrites. You say that you love God. You say that you are a follower of God, yet you neglect the more important things, is what he says at the last part of that verse. They were not showing attention to the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. And then he speaks to the ruler of Galilee, Herod. He said in Luke 13:31-32, he says, "At that time some Pharisees said to him, 'Get away from here if you want to live. Herod Antipas wants to kill you.' And Jesus replied, 'Go tell that fox that I will keep on casting out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and the third day I will accomplish my purpose.'" And down below that, he compares Jerusalem to hens. Well, foxes go after hens. Foxes want to do harm to hens. So he was creating a contrast there. And then, of course, when Jesus has been arrested by the Jewish authorities and they hand him over to Pilate, he's not afraid to speak truth to the Roman authorities either. He says this. He took Jesus back into the headquarters again and asked him, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave no answer. "Why don't you talk to me?" Pilate demanded. "Don't you realize that I have the power to release you or crucify you?" And at that point, most of us would be afraid and we'd say, "Yes, we understand you do have that power." But Jesus said, "You would have no power over me at all unless it were given to you from above. So the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin." Jesus understood. And he was not afraid to speak truth to power. He was not afraid to tell this Roman authority that there's someone more powerful than you. You're not the highest authority in the land. God is the highest authority in the land. He was not afraid to speak truth to power. And something else you notice, he did not throw his full weight behind any of the groups involved during his day. He didn't support completely one party or another. In fact, he spoke out against all of them because they all had their faults. Yeah. And then we see that Jesus had a chance to form his own political party, but he didn't. John 6:15, when Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. Jesus could have created a political revolution that would have changed the governments during that time. Instead, he understood that that was not his time, that he was not here to lead a political revolt against the Roman Empire or the Jewish authorities. He was not very concerned with getting involved in the politics of his day, yet he spoke about political issues because for Jesus, those political issues were spiritual issues. And so, church, here's our application from this. Christians should address political issues because they are spiritual issues. But we should not be politically partisan. We do need to address the political issues of our time because they are spiritual issues. When you're talking about murdering a baby in the womb, that's a spiritual issue. When we're talking about gay marriage, that's a spiritual issue because the Word speaks to that. The Word's very clear on that. We need to speak to that. But we also need to speak to racism, to social justice, to helping the oppressed. And we tend to zero in on one topic or another, and we leave out the other topics when we as the church are called to address all. Because the Word of God addresses all. So we need to speak truth into the political realm. We can take positions on political issues. I'm not telling you that you can never post anything political on Facebook, because if you're posting spiritual things, they are political things. When you are addressing political issues, they are spiritual issues. So we need to speak God's word into our culture. And we need to vote for people who have policies that align with God's word. I'm not saying that we can't. I'm not saying you can't vote for Trump or you can't vote for Biden or you can't vote for another candidate. But we do need to be addressing these spiritual issues, these political issues. We need to speak these things on Facebook. We need to speak these things to other people. We need to let the world know what the truth is. And we need to fight for the truth. But we should not be politically partisan, which means we shouldn't throw our full weight behind Trump or Biden, behind the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, behind the conservative side or the liberal side. Why? Because neither party has policies that align completely with God's word. Neither party is perfect. The way some people talk about politics, they think that their party is perfect. Their party is far from perfect. So what policies does each party, each of the major parties, have working for them? I took this out of a book I'm reading by Tony Evans. And in fact, I'm taking a few things from Tony Evans. He's the one, he is a voice in my life right now that I really appreciate. I've been listening to his sermons, I've been reading his books. But he says this: many people believe that the Republican Party platform speaks to many moral issues facing our nation, including the abomination of abortion. But some people believe that the Democratic Party platform speaks to the issues of social justice, racial inequality, and help for the poor, even better than the Republicans do. But what saddens me is that both sides think that Christians on the other side are completely wrong. And what does that do? If you take your side and you say, I'm on this side, I'm a Republican, you're looking over there at Democrats, you're my enemy. We're not on the same side. We're not on the same team. It alienates you from them. And one thing, yes, division, one of the things I see is in this culture, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but to the world, when you throw your full support behind one party or the other, you automatically alienate yourself from that side. You automatically basically build a wall between that side and your side. When neither side has a completely Christian platform, which means that neither side should get our complete, unwavering support. Yet I see that we are going all in with the Republican Party, or we're going all in with the Democratic Party, when both parties fall short of the truth as found in God's Word. Let's really step on your toes right here. Some people are more Republicans than they are Christians. They're Republican Christians rather than Christian Republicans. They are Republicans first and Christians second. And if you really looked at the beliefs in their life, their beliefs align more with the Republican Party than the Christian, than Christianity, than the kingdom of God. They have more positions that are aligned with the Republican Party, even when they come in conflict with the Word of God. They are more Republican than they are Christians, when God has called us to be Christians first. And that means you can be a Republican second or a Democrat second, but we're called to be Christians first. That has the first and final say in our life. Our beliefs should align with Christianity. And here's something else that needs to be stated, especially in Randolph County. Being a Christian is not equal with, being a Republican is not equal with being a Christian. We need to get that out of our head, church. We tend to think that every Christian has to be a Republican. No, that's not how it should be. We need to get that out of our head. So what should we do? Tony Evans talks about a concept called being light, L-I-T-E. You know how they have those drinks like Pepsi Light and Coca-Cola Light that came out a few years ago with different things that it's like Coca-Cola, but it's not. It's like Pepsi, but it's not. He argues that we should be Republican light or Democrat light or any other party light. Doesn't mean it means that you don't throw your full support behind either candidate or either party, but you can kind of step into that realm a little bit. You can look at, we need to look at the Republican Party platform, the Democratic Party platform, and these other party platforms, and we need to look through their policies to see how many of them align with God's Word. And if we weigh that one political party has more policies that align with God's Word, and if we pray about it and God tells us to vote for that person, we can vote for that person. You can stick your foot in there. You can be partially Republican. You can be partially Democrat. You can be partially Green Party, Libertarian Party, Constitutional Party. I can't remember all of them that's on our ballot. But we should be Republican-light or Democrat-light or whatever party-light. We can be one or the other, but we should not be fully in with one or the other. I think it's dangerous to go all in. Because when you go all in, and this is where I was getting at earlier, when you go all in, people of the world, especially if you're public about it, if you are publicly supporting one candidate or the other and blasting it all over your Facebook, blasting it all over your life, people of the world tend to think that you support everything about that particular candidate or that party. And we live in such a divisive culture that it divides. It builds a divide between your ability to connect with the people that God has called us to reach. I've heard from, I'll just be honest with you, Democrats that you really used to be conservatives. Grew up in the church and were conservatives in the church. And Richie had one message us last week thanking us that we were not pushing the Republican platform down everybody's throats and that they had left their previous church because they felt like it was the Republican platform really more than the Christian platform. And they thanked us even though we probably disagree. I mean, I know we disagree on many things. But yet, because we are not putting ourselves fully in with one party or the other, the relationship was still there. What happened when the other church threw themselves completely in with one party or the other? It cut off their relationship with people on the other side. That's just a result that's not right. It shouldn't be that way. But that's just a result of how divided we are today. But if we are just sticking our foot just barely in one side or the other, it doesn't completely alienate the other side. But when we stick our both feet, when we get into the deep in support of one party or the other, and we're very public about that, it creates this divide and it hinders our ability to share the gospel. It hinders our ability to do our mission. The mission comes first, not a party. And so I'm telling you today that you can lean one way or the other, but don't put your full support in either because neither is completely biblical. And don't act like either side is. Don't act like your side is right. I see people who post more political stuff than they do Christian stuff. They're the Republican Christians that I'm talking about, rather than the Christians first who vote Republican. So Jesus, he addressed political issues because they are spiritual issues, and we should too, but we should not be politically partisan because neither side is completely right. There's plenty of partisanship running around today. Church, don't add to it. Promote biblical truth. Tell you what, people should be able to look at your life and be able to tell that who, maybe, I don't know, because the candidates we have, but they should be able to tell who you're going to lean towards. although that's not completely true during this time. But there's plenty of partisanship running around. Don't add to it. Promote biblical truth without being partisan. Why was Jesus not partisan? Because Jesus understood he belonged to a different kingdom. He understood that no party during his time was the kingdom that he belonged to. Because he belonged to God's kingdom. He is a citizen of the kingdom of God. When he got arrested and is being questioned by, I think here's Pilate, Jesus answered him in John 18:36, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." Essentially, he was saying, yes, I'm a king. Yes, I'm a ruler. Yes, I am in charge. But my kingdom's not of this world. I belong to a different kingdom. See, Jesus didn't have to take sides because he knew that he wasn't on either side. There's a story out of Joshua chapter 5 that I think gives us a good picture of the position God takes when it comes to politics. Joshua and Israel is coming up against armies who are blocking them from taking the promised land. And so it says in verses 13 through 14, it says, "When Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a sword in hand. Joshua went up to him and he demanded, 'Are you friend or are you foe?' And he said, 'Neither one. I am the commander of the Lord's army.' At this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. He says, 'I'm at your command.' Joshua said, 'What do you want your servant to do?'" So here's God's people. Here's Israel coming up against these armies, and there's this man, this angel standing there, and Joshua said, "Which side are you on? Are you for us or are you for our enemies? Are you a Republican or are you a Democrat?" And he says, "I'm neither." In fact, I think some translations just translate it as "no." He says, "I'm the commander of the Lord's army." He understood he's fighting for a different team. He's not fighting for one side or the other because he belongs to the kingdom of God. And then notice Joshua's response. Joshua bows down and offers himself as a servant. This guy said, "Hey, I'm an independent. I'm a kingdom independent because I belong to the kingdom of God." And Joshua bows down because he realizes he's part of that kingdom too. This should be our posture when it comes to politics, church. We should understand that we belong to God's kingdom, and our initial reaction, not to take action one way or another, is to bow down in reverence to God. Church, we must understand that we belong to God's kingdom. 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul says that we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, "Come back to God." When we think about our modern understanding of ambassadors, ambassadors are foreigners, are they not, in another country? We have ambassadors here today. We have ambassadors in countries all over the world. And they're foreigners in those countries, but they're representing their home country. And Paul compares us to that. We are foreigners in this world. We are foreigners in the United States of America. We represent God's kingdom. Ambassadors typically don't get involved in the politics of the country that they are in. Yet they can speak to political issues because they're representing this other kingdom. Church, that should be our posture. We need to speak for the kingdom of God. We need to make his appeal through us. We are called to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are called to teach the truth in the world. That is our primary mission as ambassadors, as citizens of the kingdom of God. And so knowing that, we must promote God's kingdom agenda in the world. Matthew 6:33, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he'll give you everything you need." Seek the kingdom of God. Don't seek the Republican Party. Don't seek the Democratic Party. Don't seek the United States of America. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. I've already touched on this a little bit, but what is our mission? To make disciples. If you are focusing more on getting President Trump or Biden elected, then you are not doing your mission. In fact, I could argue that if you're being partisan, you are hindering your ability to complete the mission, because when you are partisan, it divides you from the other side. And maybe people on the other side need to be reached with the gospel. And if you're clearly taking one side or the other, you clearly think that the other side is lost, and you shouldn't be shaming them and condemning them for voting that way. You need to be loving them and sharing the gospel with them. Amen. That means we need to ask these questions before everything we say or do. Number one, before you post anything on Facebook, before you say anything, you need to think about, will this bring glory to God? 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Not for the glory of Trump, not for the glory of Biden, not for the glory of the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, not for your own glory. You do it all for the glory of God. So before you post anything on Facebook during this political season, before you say anything political, think about, will this bring God glory? Number two, think about whether this will help you make disciples. Say, will this help me make disciples? If it does not help you make disciples, you don't have to say it. Those who talk a lot sin a lot. There's a lot of talking going on right now and a lot of sinning going on right now. If it does not help you make disciples, don't say it. And I can tell you with confidence today that being partisan does not help you make disciples. If you feel like someone's beliefs are invalid, share the gospel with them. Teach them what the Bible says. Don't just attack other positions of the other party. Teach them what the Bible says. Actually walk with them through the process of discipleship. We're just throwing these bombs everywhere when we should be building bridges. We'll get into that next week. So basically what I'm asking you to do today is simple. I want you to be a kingdom independent during this election season, understanding that you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And everything you do flows out of that understanding. Realize that your identity begins with you being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and then a citizen of the kingdom of America, and then a Republican or Democrat or other party, a conservative or liberal. There are two layers there that should bring unity. Being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven and being a citizen of the kingdom of America. Yet we're completely divided because we've elevated the Republican or Democrat to the top of our identity, and everything flows out of that. Let me be open with you for a second. Growing up in Randolph County, I understood that one party was good and the other party was bad. And I don't think it was the intention of Randolph County, but one of the things that I noticed I was doing, especially in my teenage years and early adult years, was that I had the tendency to look at people who belonged to the other party or voted for the other party as bad people. And I was always taught to never have anything to do with bad people. I wanted nothing to do with them or their party. And so I would separate myself from them. I would look down on them. I especially experienced this at Food Lion, being around people that did not vote the way I did. And I had to be very intentional about not letting it affect my relationship with them, because initially it did. See, my actions were being driven out of my identity as a conservative. But then I came to understand that God loves all. He cares for all and is wanting to be in a relationship with all, and He wants to use me to be a means of them coming to Him. How am I able to teach my message to them, His message to them? How can I be used as His vessel when I don't want nothing to do with the other party because they are my enemies? And so I realized that I had to allow my identity as a Christian be my foundation. Then everything else I do will grow out of that understanding. And church, I look forward to one day knowing that God's kingdom will replace every human kingdom. And we're called to live as citizens of His kingdom now. To live a Christ-centered life. We'll dive into next week more about what that means. The way I want you to respond today is I want you to register today as a Kingdom Independent. If you look underneath your seats, it's probably in the middle of your row. There's little slips of paper, little skinny ones. And it says this, I am registering today as a Kingdom Independent because I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. I want you to simply sign that as a way of saying my identity as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven is the most important thing about me. And I repent for maybe allowing my identity to be in something else for a long time or for a period of time. And I'm going to ask you during this next song to respond. We have this box here. It was here when we got the church. But it reminds me of a ballot box a little bit. An old-fashioned ballot box. But I want you to simply... I need to make sure there's no money in it, though, before we get going. Nope, nothing in there. I want you to simply, during this next song, take this act of worship, telling God, I'm registering today as a Kingdom Independent. That this is the most important thing about me. It's not that I'm a Republican or a Democrat. It's not that I'm on one side or the other. It's that I belong to your kingdom. And next week we're going to talk about what that means in terms of your actions. And then the Sunday before the election, I'm going to give you some questions to go through before you vote. To think through before you vote. That will help you to align with what God wants you to do rather than what you think is best. And so we're getting ready to sing a song called Heal Our Land. And I fully believe that we will never see healing in our land until we get this part of our identity down. And so if that means that you need to put your slip in there as an act of saying, I'm registering as a Kingdom Independent today, and then you need to come up here and pray and repent and tell God, I'm sorry for being a Republican first or a Democrat first in my life at different points. I'm sorry for promoting these other kingdoms here on earth more than I promoted your kingdom. You can do that today because He forgives. And if you need Him to help you to live the life as a citizen of the kingdom of God, He will help you do that today too. All you need to do is ask Him. Stand to your feet and let's pray.